Please turn our Bibles to Amos chapter 8. Amos chapter 8. Amos chapter 8. And the scripture reading is before the sermon is taken from verses 11 to 14. Amos chapter 8, verses 11 to 14. Please listen attentively to the reading of God's precious word. Verse 11. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even unto the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. In that day shall the fair virgins and young men faint for thirst. They that swear by the sin of Samaria, and say, Thy God, O Dan, liveth, and the manner of Beersheba liveth, even they shall fall and never rise up again. The Lord bless the reading of His sacred word. Man needs food to survive. If we go several days without food, we know that the time will come for us to lie in the grave. And this is why man often fears famine. Because if there is no food, they know that soon all bodily functions will cease and they will die. And so, therefore, are you afraid of famine? One of the things which recently have emerged due to the COVID-19 plague is the disruption of supply lines. And so, in a few weeks ago, we had some warnings in the newspapers that there might be famine in the world. And so, there is panic all around, and people rush to the supermarkets to buy whatever they can find there, and then to stock their homes. So much so that some of our homes are mini emporiums. Why this panic buying? Well, because people fear famine. No food means no life. And so, the question then is, do you fear famine? Well, initially, some of us were a little concerned that there may be famine in Singapore. And indeed, if you go to the various supermarkets, you will find that some of our favorite foods are not there, right? And from what I know, the supply of eggs in Singapore is getting more difficult. Nevertheless, I wonder whether you are concerned about famine right now. Because due to the wisdom which the Lord has given to the government of this land, it seems like we are still quite well stocked with food. We still can have our stomachs filled. And though we may not be able to go to food courts and to sit down there and to eat, we are still able to cook food in the kitchen, to tapao or take away right from the coffee shop. And lo and behold, now with modern invention, just with a few touches of the handphone, the food comes. Ding dong, here is your food. I've left your food outside at the door. You may eat of the food. Very easy, right? And some of the food is very, very sumptuous. Right, you can have bread, and nowadays the bread that we buy, the loaf of bread, can be so big, it can last us for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I received a piece of bread recently from the goodness of someone, and I was caught by surprise because I did not know the person ordered this bread for me. And I think when the person ordered the bread, this person was expecting it to be enough for maybe a meal or two. And so the bread arrived. He says, "Are you Clement?" I said, "Yes, I'm Clement. Now this is your food." I said, "I did not order any food." "Oh, maybe somebody ordered for you." And indeed, somebody ordered the food for me, and it came in, it was bread. And, well, of course, it's not just gardenia bread, it's bread with maybe, you know, some mayo, some egg, and some with tuna. And it was huge. Could last me breakfast, lunch, dinner, and breakfast again. So in Singapore, we are so thankful that we can get this food easily. Sometimes when we read in the Bible about famines, well, it is something that is so far away from us, we doubt that there will be famine in this world. We can even get our durian, right, through Foodpanda, right? How I know this? Because this morning, suddenly the advertisement popped up, and for me, I don't really like durian. I don't know why a durian advertisement popped up in the handphone. Order durian through Foodpanda. Durian Boy SG or something like this. So even durian we can get. Wow, so no worry, no famine, right? Well, we better be prepared for famine. Even if it does not come right now, it will surely come one day, right? Because the Bible says that one of the signs of the soon coming of Christ is not only pestilence, right, but there will also be famines. And while there may not be famine in Singapore, there are certain sectors of the world which are really worried that there may be a lack of food. In fact, COVID-19 has caused great hunger even in some developed countries. There are some who are poor in the streets. Right, they depend upon the help of their governments to have their meals. And now because of this plague, some of them literally went hungry without their three meals. And these are in developed countries whereby you think that, oh, the people will be well fed. But no, they are hungry. And there are tons of poor people in the streets who may not be dying from the virus, but dying because of lack of food in the stomach. And will the situation get worse in the world? Well, we will see. Well, famine can be a very fearful thing. And if you read the Bible today, here in Amos chapter 8, and if you read the whole passage, you will realize that this is a passage really that talks about famine. And the first thing that we must understand about famine is this. Who sendeth famine? Who is the one who sent famine? And the answer from the scriptures, it's obvious in verse 11, right? The first part of verse 11, whereby it says, "Behold, the days come," right? And here, when the Bible says, "Behold, the days come," it has this sense of imminency. Behold, the days are coming and will surely come. It is near at the door. And who is the one who says that? Well, it is the Lord God who says it. Right? God, right? The covenant name for Israel, right? Or the God of Israel, right? The I am that I am, the ever-existing one, the everlasting God. And here he calls himself the Lord God, Adonai, Master. Why the use of the word Master? Is to tell Israel and to tell all of us, I am the one who is sovereign over all things in the world. I am the one in control. There is nothing in the world that happens by chance. And so therefore, when there is a famine in the land, I am the one who is behind it. I am the one who have sent the famine. And that is exactly what he declares after this, that I will send a famine in the land. I will send a famine in the land. Sometimes when famine comes, we fall into the trap of thinking that, oh, it's just a very unfortunate series of natural events in the world, and so therefore there is famine. And some may be tempted to think, oh, there is now this famine that may come into certain parts of the world because of the unfortunate events of SARS-CoV-2. Right? That is the name of the virus. Right? The name of the virus is SARS-CoV-2. The name of the disease, COVID-19. Oh, because of this, so therefore there is famine in the world. And sometimes we think that man is in control. And if there's anything outside of the control, oh no, maybe because man did not pay attention to nature, and so therefore all these things happen. You see this written in newspapers. Nobody dares to mention that, oh, it's because of God that all these things happened. And then when things get better, we begin to think that, oh, all these things man can control. We can control the virus by isolating ourselves. The numbers are going down in the community. Why? Oh, because we have this circuit breaker, you see. Because of circuit breakers, so therefore numbers go down. Oh, men can control. We have this intelligence to find out what is the weakness of the virus and then to prevent the plague from happening. So man is in control. It's as though the virus is here by itself, and with our intervention we can cause the virus to vanish. Please don't fall into this trap, into thinking that the virus, or if there's any famine, that all these things are there by themselves. No, all these things are sent to us by God. It's not by chance. And the Bible already declares that in the last days, and especially the closer and we come to the second coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, well, there will be all these signs in the world which will be part of the beginning of sorrows. Pestilences, which we are now facing one right now. And famine. But sometimes because we read the newspaper and then, oh, we hear about how science is involved in it and how wearing masks can help the situation, and then we begin to think that, oh, all these things is all because of nature, because of man. God is not in the picture. Please don't fall into that trap. This virus is sent to us for a reason. Never ever forget that as we go through this entire circuit breaker. And even after the circuit breaker, do not forget, because sometimes when things are progressively restored to normal, we begin to forget God. Never ever forget who sendeth the famine. God. And there is a reason why he sent the famine. Sometimes not only reason, there can be reasons why he sent the famine. And so the next point we want to consider is, right, after we know who sent the famine, the famine did not come just by itself, well, it's God who sent the famine, that we must consider the reason behind the famine. Why famine? And here in Amos chapter 8, if you read the earlier verses, it would be apparent what is the reason for this famine. And the reason for this famine is the judgment of the Lord upon the children of Israel. Just like what we have now, right now in the world, please understand that COVID-19 is a judgment of the Lord upon the entire world. And if there's going to be any famine that results from it, yes, it is also the Lord's judgment. Yes, the Lord's mercy, if we respond correctly, but also the Lord's judgment. And if you read Amos chapter 8 down here, you will realize that even from the very beginning, the Lord says, well, things in Israel are coming to a bad end. And the picture that is used by Amos is a summer fruit, a basket of summer fruit. Now, why summer fruit? Well, for two reasons. Firstly, right, the expression summer fruit oftentimes refers to the last fruit that you will get out of the summer season. Right? So the entire fruit season is coming to the end. This will be the fruit that you will get to eat at the end of that season. So when the people hear the word summer fruit, they will think of an end. Moreover, the word summer fruit is similar sounding to the word end. In the Hebrew scriptures, this device is often employed in order to help crystallize the message in the minds of the children of Israel. And just like in English poems, sometimes we have rhyming in order to make the poem more lively unto us. And so for the Hebrews, for the children of Israel, it is also the same. Right? The word summer fruit, right, is ka'iz. And the word en is kez. Right? Very similar sounding, right? Almost rhyming, right? Ka'iz and kez. And so when the Jews, when the children of Israel, right, heard this message, it will resonate very deeply in their hearts and in their minds. An end is coming. And why this end is coming? Well, because you have sinned against me very grossly as a nation. And here pertains very much to the northern kingdom, of which we know that there was no good king. That this was during the time of Jeroboam the second. You can read about the timing of Amos even from the beginning of the book, where it says that Amos ministered during the time of Uzziah and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake. Right, so there will be a great earthquake that will come, and this earthquake will cause much trouble, maybe also part of the reason why there will be a famine. And so this warning went out, and in fact, the book of Amos contains several messages given to the people in the northern kingdom. And what was the response of these people? Hear this, all ye that swallow up the needy, in verse 4, even to make the poor of the land to fail. All they cared was whether or not they could exploit people, exploit the poor, exploit their own citizens. And though the Lord has sent times of poverty to them, yet were they repentant? No. The Bible here says, when will the new moon be gone? Oh, I cannot wait for the month to end. Because when this month of, well, misfortune has come, and then it has gone, well, things will be back to normal, you see. We are looking forward to setting forth wheat, and then we are looking forward to make the ephah small. Now, what is the ephah? Well, the ephah is a measurement of weight, right? Oftentimes used in the markets. Just like today, we use what, grams and kilograms, right, in Singapore. So in those days, they used the unit of measure, an ephah, right? But what these unrepentant and hardened sinners were saying is this. Well, we are looking forward to things being back to normal, and we want to go about making our ephah small, and then to make the shekel. The shekel will be the unit of money, Right? In Singapore, it would be Singapore dollars. In those days, for the Northern Kingdom, it would be the shekel. In fact, even in Israel today, it's still the shekel. Right? So we want to make the shekel great. What does it mean? Well, the last part of the verse will explain it in verse 5. We are trying to falsify the balance by deceit. So what it means is this. You ask for 1 kg, but somehow that 1 kg in which you get is way smaller than 1 kg. So maybe the merchant only give you 800 grams. Although the scale says 1 kg, but it's actually 800 grams. And not only that, but they will drive up also the unit price, right, of that food. So maybe before that is $1 per kg. Now it's $1.20 per kg. $1.50 per kg. Then after that, $2, $2.50, $3, $4, $5 per kg. And they give you 800 grams. That is exploitation, isn't it? That is pure dishonesty. And this thinking was present among the people when they had what? When they have famine. When they have a physical famine of what? A physical famine of food. So instead of considering why the Lord had allowed famine to come into their midst, their thoughts were, well, we only want to make money. We want things back to normal. To get back to normal, and we are going back to buying and trading, and not just that, but to fulfill the greed that is in us to gain as much possessions in the world. That is the way of the world. And we will not be surprised that for this COVID-19, that may be in the heart of some people, including those who profess to be Christians. Oh, we are only waiting for things to come to normal very soon when circuit breaker ends, so that what? We can go back to our wicked ways in order to cheat people and to fatten our pockets with the things of the world. And they fail to consider, why is there this COVID-19 plague? Just like how the children of Israel failed to consider why there was this famine. And they could only want to go back to their wicked ways. They want to buy the poor for silver. They want to sell the needy for a pair of shoes. Well, how much is a pair of shoes? Not much. Right, a pair of sandals in this case. Right? Please do not think like the pair of shoes that we will buy. All those court shoes or luxurious shoes. No. Right, this will be like a pair of sandals. Everyday wear. They will sell them for this money. And they will sell the refuse of the wheat. The portion of the wheat they don't want, they will sell for money. Knowing how desperate the people will be in order to make what? In order to eat. The hardened heart of man. But that is exactly the reason why the Lord sent the famine. The Lord sent the famine in order to judge them for their sin. And His desire was that they may wake up and realize that they have gone wayward, and that they may return to the Lord, that they may repent for their sin and embrace Him as their Savior. That is the desire of God, and that is why there was famine in the land. Who sent the famine? The Lord. Why is there a famine? Well, firstly, because of judgment. Yes, He was angry because of their sin, but He was also desiring that they should return to Him. But instead of that, they fail to consider that reason. And they, in fact, begin to plot more evil and more wickedness. And I pray that will not be the way in which we approach this COVID-19 plague. Just hoping that this plague will quickly end, the circuit breaker will quickly end, so that what? We can go back to wicked ways. No. We pray not. Go back to embrace the world. Right now at home, I just can't do anything. I hope that everything will end so I can go outside and to what? Continue to sin against the Lord? Hopefully not. Because if we do that, that means we have failed to understand why the Lord sent the famine. And the worry, especially for for us in Singapore is, well, because the Lord has blessed us with such conditions whereby compared to many parts of the world, a significant number of us are still able to have our food on the table, so therefore we don't get the message. What will be even worse is if we suffer from this plague, we have problems with our jobs, we have problems feeding our family, but after all these things have happened unto us, we still do not consider that message. Ah, then that will be really, really a tragedy. Don't let that happen. You must understand that a famine or pestilence is a call to turn to the Lord, a call to turn to Him. So who sent the famine? The Lord. Why famine? It's a call to turn to Him. And so long if it is a physical famine, there is actually nothing much to fear. Why? Well, because when we talk about a physical famine affects only our bodily functions. And if you go through the famine, and in the end, at the end of the famine, you repent from your sins and you are truly a child of God. Even if the famine takes away your time upon this earth, right, it will be the event which the Lord used to end your journey down here. But you know that this is only but a commencement. Because what will happen to somebody who have their sins forgiven and have trusted in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is at the end of their time here on this earth, they will be found in the safety of the arms of Jesus. You know that you will be there in the new heaven and new earth with a glorified body. And so actually, even though famine may come, it is not something that is disastrous. Even though it may be something that ends our life here upon this earth, but because we are already a possessor of eternal life, and so therefore there is nothing to fear concerning a physical famine. But the third question, or the third point we want to see from this text down here is this. What type of famine is the worst type of famine? That's why the message today is entitled, The Worst Famine. No, the worst famine is not a physical famine. A lot of people feel that it's true. And we can understand why. Because we need food to live from day to day. Neither is the worst type of famine a famine of medicines. Now, with COVID-19 raging about, right, there is great demand for medicine. And then we know that due to supply chain, sometimes medicine may find hard to reach to the people who need it. And just like food, right, may not be able to reach those people who need it. Right? You hear of accounts whereby farmers are destroying their meat, destroying their fruit. Right? And so the same may come for medicine. Yes, there may be medicine somewhere, but no way to reach the person. And even then, later on, there may not even be enough of the supply because there are only that number of factories to churn out, right, the medicines that are needed. Already there is difficulty to transport the medicine there, and then after that, even in terms of production, well, maybe it cannot even meet the target. And so some people say, oh, famine of medicines, that is something I feel because I get sick and then I cannot get the medicine that I need to get well. Even if you die of COVID-19, let's say, our comfort is we know that we will be in the Lord's hands, isn't it? And that is exactly what the children heard yesterday from Elder John Leong. That's what Elder John Leong encouraged the children last night. If, let's say, any should get COVID-19, is there any reason for you to fear? No, we can be comforted because we already know the Lord. And so therefore, it is very, very important that you must know the Lord. That is the sure comfort that we can have in this world. And if you do know the Lord, then there is no need to fear a famine of food, a famine of water, a famine of medicine. But what we must truly be concerned about is this famine that is stated here in Amos chapter 8, verses 11 to 14. And what type of famine, right, do we have down here? The Bible here says, I will send a famine in the land, but this is not a famine of bread. Right? So not a famine of the usual food. Right? Not of meat. Not of fish, not of vegetables, not of fruit. Nor a thirst for water. Right? So it's not that there's any lack of drinking water, suddenly there's no rain from the sky, no. I've already sent that before to the northern kingdom already. And you have seen, right, what is the response of the people. But this last famine will be the worst type of famine that I can send, because they have hardened their hearts to me for far too long. And it will be a famine of the hearing of the words of the Lord. A famine of words. What type of words? Well, of the word of God. Of the words of truth. Of scripture, of spiritual words. And this famine will come. And this is the worst type of famine. Why? Because if you have no opportunity to hear the truth, there is no way in which a person can find salvation and eternal life. What is the way to be fully cured of every problem in this world? The way to be fully cured of every problem in this world is only in Christ Jesus. And how do you know about Christ Jesus? Only through the Holy Scriptures. Only through the Holy Scriptures. And if there is no preaching of the truth, if the scriptures are not available for people to be read, then how then will people find the way to heaven? You know, heaven is the only place whereby all troubles will finally end. No more pain, no more sorrow, no more worries. You want to know what is the cure for COVID? It's not vaccine. People are now talking about vaccine for COVID. Well, we pray that, of course, we pray that for the Lord to be merciful, right, so that this vaccine can be discovered. But the final cure is not vaccine. The final cure is what? The final cure is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That when somebody knows the truth and truly believe, repent of his sins and believe in him, well, not only will his souls be delivered, but the Bible also tells that our bodies will also be delivered. When the Bible talks about healing in the atonement, it talks about spiritual healing as well as physical healing. How does the physical healing take place? When we finally have our glorified body that will no longer corrupt. That is the final healing. That is the prime vaccine. The only one vaccine that we need. The only one medicine that we need. And if this spiritual food, this spiritual medicine is not available, then we will well and truly die. Well and truly die. And this is the type of famine that we see down here, right? That's how we saw who sendeth the famine. The Lord sent the famine. Why is there a famine? Where was that famine in the past? Well, it's all the famines in the past were a call to turn to him. But why is there this famine now? Well, very different in the sense that yes, it is judgment, but because they have hardened their hearts so much that right now, the type of famine that is going to be sent is going to be a famine of words. And this is the worst type of famine. And we pray that in Singapore, we will not have this kind of famine. We pray that in the world, this type of famine will also not come. So therefore, we are very thankful that in this period of time, we still can have, at least in Singapore, a good access to various materials in order for our souls to be fed. We still can have access to our Bibles. We still can have access to the preaching of God's Word. And we still can access to good Christian literature. For that, we must be very, very thankful. And there are some who sometimes wonder, why pastors sometimes give thanks for technology such as Zoom? No, it's not because that that I like this technology. Actually, I do not like Zoom very much. I want to be very, very frank with everyone down here. And why do I not like this kind of telecommunications technology very much? Because firstly, if we are too enamored by it, then we forget the important element of fellowship that is what? One very important fellowship is the physical gathering of the saints in order to encourage one another and to minister to one another. There is nothing that can substitute that particular element in fellowship. Christians are meant to gather together as the family of God. Just like right now in the COVID-19 plague, some of us, well, we get to stay with our families. I pray that you are thankful that you all can stay in your families. But for some, because of the addresses, your legal addresses, well, they are not able to stay with their family, and so how? Well, stay apart. And they want to meet, well, there is great difficulty in meeting. Unless for really very essential matters, otherwise you are not permitted to meet. Our family should meet, right? And yes, of course, we are happy that there is this technology whereby we can communicate one with another, but well, there's still no substitute of being beside one another and enjoying the time, right, with your loved ones and friends, right? So that's the first thing. Second thing is, well, this technology will only be used later on. Well, it's not that the technology is bad, no, it has its uses, and just like a knife has is used, if used properly, it can be used to cut food, it can be used to pry open certain things. But used in the wrong way, a knife can kill, a knife can wound, a knife can injure. And so the same goes for technology. You have this Zoom technology, well, all this telecommunication technology will only be used later on to bring about the coming of the Antichrist. The one world system is here to come. I pray that everyone will prepare their hearts for this, because it is near. It is really very near. But one good thing of having this technology is that at least during this period, we are still able to have access to the words. To the words. That is the important thing. And for that, I am very, very thankful. Because otherwise, if this plague had occurred in the past, well, it would have been nigh impossible to minister the truth so easily to everyone. Well, perhaps the only way is to what? Keep writing letters. Dear so and so, how are you? I hope you're okay. Then send a snail mail. Take 3 days to reach the other side, and you never know, right? The postal service may come down. Maybe the next time you come back 1 week or 1 month later, with the words, I am well. By the time 1 month has passed, now at least, well, we have this technology whereby we can at least communicate one another, and most importantly, communicate the words of truth. For that, I am thankful. But you can have the technology, and you can have many who are, or at least appear to be engaged in the propagation of Christian things, and yet you can have a famine of words. How? When what is preached and what is taught is not according to the truth. And sadly, that is the other side of the coin, or the other side of the sword, right, during this period. This period has allowed the truth to go out far and wide, because many churches are forced, right, to put things up on live streaming videos, right, pre-recorded. Even those pastors who are usually shy to have their faces to be shown, now they have to do it because that is the way, right, to reach God's people, that they may be well fed by God's word. But it also gives the platform for falsehood to also be broadcasted far and wide. And do we see this in the world? Yes, we see this in the world. And what the Bible tells us is, as the time comes towards the end, we will have a great falling away, great apostasy in the world. Now, when we have great apostasy, does that mean that the people will suddenly stop saying the name of Jesus Christ? No, of course not. Just like with regards to the Northern Kingdom, when they worship, do you think they stop saying the name of Jehovah? No, they still say Jehovah, 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 the Lord, Adonai, we worship you, the one living and true God. But they also worship idols. And they also make what? With respect to the Northern Kingdom, they still have their golden calf, one at Dan and one at Bethel, right, the southernmost part of the Northern Kingdom. And because of this apostasy, the people were dying for the lack of true spiritual knowledge of the Lord. There was already a famine of words. But the Lord was very merciful, right, to send all the prophets, right, to warn the people and to speak the truth to them. But now the time has come whereby even if the people want to find this truth, they cannot find it. Will they have prophets? Yes, they will also have false prophets. In fact, after that, when the Northern Kingdom was destroyed in 722 BC, that is very, very soon after this prophecy was given, right? Because this prophecy was given somewhere between 767 to 753 BC. So very soon, right? 722 BC, the Northern Kingdom will be destroyed. And what the Assyrians will do will be to find the basis of men in order to go in and to become the prophets and priests of the people. And the people then intermingle with the other nations, and that's how you have the Samaritans. And did the Samaritans know the truth? No. In fact, later on, they became persecutors of the people of God. And then, even by the time of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, did they know the truth? No, they still don't. They still don't. They know a perverted version of the Bible, the scriptures. And that is falsehood. It led them no closer to God and to salvation at all. It was a famine of words. Oh yes, they can try their best, but they will not find it, right? They will wander from sea to sea, and from the north unto the east, and they shall not find it. In fact, the word wander here is interesting. The word wander here talks about being tossed to and fro in the sea. Now, have you been tossed to and fro in the sea before? I pray you do not need to experience it. I've been to one ship before, and on top of the ship, well, the wind was so great, it almost blew my cap off. And not only that, but we were so frightened, my wife and I were so frightened that because the wind was so strong, we quickly went down one deck, because we thought that if we stay there longer, we may have been blown off the deck. So can you imagine if there's a big storm tossed to and fro? Wow, I cannot imagine. And tossed from what? From the north to the south, to the east, to the west. Never grounded in the truth, never finding it. And now when they want the truth, they shall run to try and find it in order to seek for it, but they will never find it. And all the fair virgins, all the young men, all these will be people in the vigor of their youth, they shall faint for thirst. What kind of thirst? spiritual thirst. When you have no spiritual words, you have spiritual hunger, spiritual thirst, and finally, you will die in your sins. And that is why in verse 14, the deadliness of this famine is told to us. They shall swear by the sin of Samaria, right, the golden calf, and say, "Thy God, O Dan, liveth." But actually, is this God the living God? No, right? It's a dead God, made of wood, made of stone, made of gold, made of silver. Not a living God, but they will continue to say, "Oh, thy God liveth." Now, this will be the northern kingdom, right? They will go to Dan, the northernmost part, and then they will worship the golden calf there. Then we are told, the manner of Beersheba liveth. Right? Take note of the keyword liveth, right? Talking about life. And so even in the southern kingdom, yes, though they may have some good kings which help to prolong the truth down there, yet there is already, right, this apostasy, this backsliding that has started, and they are also engaged in idolatry of worship of gods that are not living. And because they call gods which are dead, gods which are false, living gods, and so they will therefore not be able to find the truth, they will fall, and the keyword is shall never rise up again. Why is this famine the worst famine? Because it is a deadly famine, and from which there will be no escape, for which at the end of it there is no life. If you want to know what is the famine that will truly result in no life, it is not physical famine, it's not a famine of medicines, it is the famine of words. Whose words? God's words. And so we must pray that in our churches, right, the only way to prevent this famine of words is that we must continually be committed to the Word of God. And especially, you know, the concern would be what? For the younger generation, right, for the children. The deep concern is for them, that they must be really well fed with God's precious words. That is the only way in which they can find salvation, the most necessary thing for them. And our hearts go out for the younger generation, because, you know, based upon what is written in the scriptures and looking around in the world today, I perceive that things are really going to change very, very fast. We are already living in a perilous world, but it's only going to become more perilous. The world will change far beyond what we can imagine. The rate of change is going to be very, very fast. Now, during our time, I think we can already say that the rate of change is quite fast, right? I remember when I first grew up, I was very happy and amazed to see the computer. And during then, the computers in those days, they were like very this large chunk of boxes. And we will have the operating system called MS-DOS. And we have a floppy disk. Now, how many of the young children today know what is a floppy disk? I don't think they know what is a floppy disk. They look at it and say, "What is this? This used for?" It's now only useful for tearing up. I don't know, I must ask some of the young people. Maybe even the Ebenezer do not know what is a floppy disk. And then after that, you get the mobile phone. Right, first we have the land phone, then when the mobile phone came up, it was such a wonderful technology. But can you all remember how the first mobile phone looked like? I wonder if there's... My water is around here. I forgot to bring my water bottle. But you all remember how the first mobile phone looks like? Maybe I can show a sample off the screen for a while. Okay, I use the tissue box instead. This size, right? Can you remember? And then put to the side. Hello? Hello? Call the ta ke ta. Phone. And in just a matter of maybe 10 years or so, it has shrunk until it is so small. Right? So now our mobile phones, so they are mini computer, and gone are the big chunky computers. Now you have the flat ones like this, and way more powerful. The world is really going to change, but worse than just physical changes, it will be the spirit of the world will now accelerate to be further and further away from the Lord. It is already said in the scriptures. It will come. So therefore, our prayer for the young children really is this. We are so very happy last night they get to talk to one another, but we pray that the Lord will keep them safe, and most importantly, the Lord will give them life, that they will not need to face a famine of words. They can face a famine of food. Of course, we are not wishing that our children don't have food. Please, we are not wishing that. Parents, we will want to give them the best of food, and we should. We pray that they don't need to face a famine of toys. Young children should get to experience their childhood, to laugh with their friends, to enjoy their times with one another. And so last night was really a very happy time to see the children interacting with each other. But at the same time, we must be sober, and we must know also the real danger that our children face. And we must really pray for them and help them in this way, that they may grow up quickly spiritually to mature, and that they will also form good friendships with one another, godly friendships, right? Friendships in Christ. And for that to happen, firstly, they must what? They must know Christ, and they must continue to grow in Christ. And the only way that can be achieved is what? Through the faithful teaching and preaching of God's word. And the word faithful is emphasized because this teaching must be true, this teaching must be accurate, it must not be one that is false, with which we see a lot out there today, promoting ecumenism, promoting compromise, promoting charismatism. So much falsehood. And all these things that are taught does not lead to life. Well, we pray that we will have that. That's why the Sunday school ministry is so important, and I'm thankful that during this period of time, the Sunday school teachers work hard, and especially we have teachers who faithfully produce materials, right, whether it be video or worksheets, right, for the children. It is such a critical ministry at this point of time. Otherwise, famine of words. Famine of words. Oh, sure, you can have much material going out, but if it's false material, then what good will you do? You must have true material. And this means that for ourselves, we must also continue to study God's word. Parents, you have the first duty to feed the children, and the only way you can do that is what? Firstly, you must feed yourself. So keep on studying God's word, keep on keeping close to Him, keep on praying to the Lord, and pray to the Lord, please have mercy upon us, that we will not have this famine of words, which is the worst type of famine to have. Why? Because it is the most deadly famine. You think COVID-19 is deadly? It's not the most deadly thing. It is the famine of words that is most deadly, because once you are killed by it, it is really the end. There is no escape. There is no turning back. Just like for these fair virgins, young men, this will be the younger generation to come. They shall fall and they shall never rise up. The key word is the word never. Never rise up. Why never rise up? Because they do not know eternal life. They do not know the truth. And so we pray that this church will continue to stand as a citadel for truth. Pray with all your might. Pray fervently. And for yourself also, contribute to the proclamation of this truth. It can just be very simple. In your own homes, in your own life, you be a man and a woman who live out the truth. And then there will be no famine of words. Otherwise, if you have a famine of words, it would really be a basket of summer fruit. That's why basket of summer fruit. That's why the end. The word end is emphasized in the first two verses. Why? Well, because famine of words. Really the end. physical famine, things can be restored to normal. No medicine, yes, that generation some may suffer, but after that things will get back to normal. Famine of words, there is no turning back from it. That generation will surely be lost. We do not want that to happen. And so we pray that the Lord will have mercy upon us. Not just drops of mercies, but of showers of blessings. We pray that there will be no famine of words. What is the worst of famine? The famine of words. Who sendeth this famine? It is the Lord. Why does he send famine into the world? Well, as judgment, as a call to turn to him. But if men continue to harden their hearts and not want to turn to the Lord in repentance, then the type of famine that will come will be the famine of words. And this is the worst type of famine, because there is no escape. There is no life. May the Lord spare us from this famine. Grant us showers of blessing. Showers of blessing, we plead. The best shower of blessing, bless us with a shower of the words of everlasting life. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, how we thank thee for thy precious word which you have given to us. Dear, this precious word of everlasting life, these precious words of blessing. And so we pray, Father, that we will be a people wholly committed unto thy word. And as, Lord, we stay upon this earth, O Lord, hide not thy truth from us. May thou, Lord, continue to grant us many more opportunities to study thy precious word, and also to live out thy word in our lives. Hear our humble cry as we commit all these things into thy loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.